All right, so today we're diving into this pretty intense story about Chinese hackers
Oh, yeah.
hitting US telecom companies. It's kind of one of those things that makes you
Yeah.
rethink like every phone call you make, every
Good
text
call.
message you send. We've got a joint statement from the FBI and CISA on this one,
Right.
plus some extra reporting we've been digging into, and
Yeah.
it all points to something much bigger than just a simple data
Oh,
breach.
for sure.
This is a, I mean, this feels like a chapter in like an ongoing cyber war, honestly.
Definitely.
And today we're going to be figuring out what this attack actually tells us about the larger battle ahead.
Yeah, I think what's so striking here is the level of coordination we're seeing.
Right.
We're not talking about just like, a couple hackers in a basement. The FBI and CISA are very clearly calling this out as state-sponsored espionage. This was a calculated campaign with potentially huge implications.
And it's not just about stealing data, it's about who they targeted and what they were after. These hackers went right for the heart of our communication infrastructure.
Right.
Multiple US telecom companies were hit.
It's a big deal.
Think about all the data that flows through those networks, call
Cool.
records,
Huge
distance
yachts.
messages, location data. I mean, the whole nine yards.
Everything.
It's a gold mine if you're looking to gain some kind of strategic advantage.
Absolutely. And they weren't just indiscriminately grabbing everything.
Right.
They were very specific in what they were going after.
Oh, really?
Call records, for example, weren't just about knowing who called who.
Right.
They were digging into what's called the metadata,
Okay.
the timestamps, durations, patterns of communication
Interesting.
that suggests they were doing a lot of analysis to uncover relationships and networks, potentially exposing, vulnerabilities in how we communicate.
That's scary.
Yeah.
And then, it gets even creepier when you start thinking about the fact that they were going after the actual content of conversations, especially those involving government officials and political figures. I mean, that's
Right.
like straight out of a spy thriller.
Absolutely.
And then on top of that, they also grab data that's subject to law enforcement requests, potentially jeopardizing ongoing investigations.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't about petty theft. This was about gathering intelligence and
Espionage.
potentially disrupting our justice system.
Yeah, and the way they went about it points to a level of sophistication that's really unsettling.
Right.
It wasn't just like they found one vulnerability and exploited it. They used a multi-pronged approach, combining technical expertise with social engineering to gain and maintain access over time.
It's like a long game, kind of.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, so break it down for me. How did they actually get into these systems? I
Right.
mean, we all know about vulnerabilities in software, but
Yeah.
what exactly did they exploit here?
So think about telecom infrastructure, like incredibly complex.
Right.
It relies on a lot of different hardware and software,
Okay.
some of which might be outdated or poorly configured.
I
So
see.
the hackers found and exploited those weaknesses. They were essentially picking the locks of the digital doors.
And they weren't just like forcing their way in, but they
No.
were using more
They
finesse.
were using finesse, yeah.
You're talking about social engineering, right?
Exactly.
Tricking people into giving them access.
Yeah. They probably used phishing emails
Okay.
crafted to look like they're legitimate,
Right.
to trick employees into revealing passwords or clicking on malicious links.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that even the most secure systems can be vulnerable to human error.
So it's not just about having those strong firewalls and encryption.
Right.
It's also about training people to recognize those threats
Absolutely.
and being more discerning about what they click on.
Yes.
But let's say they do get in.
Okay.
Shouldn't these systems detect the unusual activity and lock them out?
Well,
How did they stay hidden for so long?
that's where we get into persistence techniques. They planted what are called digital backdoors.
What's that?
It's essentially a hidden entrance that allows them to come and go as they please,
Oh, wow.
even after that initial breach has been patched.
So sneaky.
Yeah, so imagine a specific type of malware.
Okay.
It's almost like a digital chameleon designed to blend into the system and evade detection.
So it's hiding from like the normal security software?
Yeah, exactly. Traditional security software.
Wow.
That's the kind of thing we're dealing with here.
So they were playing a long game,
Definitely.
embedding themselves deep within these networks to steal data over an extended period. And while all this was happening, the telecom companies had no idea.
Right.
That's terrifying.
It highlights a critical weakness in the traditional security models,
Right.
which often focus on preventing that initial entry, but they struggle to detect and respond to threats that are already inside the network.
Mm.
That's where we're seeing a shift towards what's called zero trust architecture.
Okay.
It's a security model that assumes that every user and device could be compromised.
Right.
So you verify every action, every step of the way.
So instead of just guarding the perimeter, you're constantly monitoring everything that's happening inside the network.
Exactly.
That sounds incredibly complex, especially for massive organizations like telecoms.
It is a challenge.
But obviously something needs to change.
For sure.
So how did the U.S. government respond once they found out about this?
Well, it wasn't the, oh, well, happens all the time kind of reaction you might expect.
Right.
The FBI and CISA were on this fast.
Good.
They immediately started notifying the affected companies and providing technical support.
Okay.
To help them, you know, lock things down and prevent further data loss.
So damage control was priority one.
Definitely.
But it sounds like they were thinking bigger picture too, right? Not just plugging the holes, but figuring out how to stop this from happening again.
Yeah, they started sharing details of the attack with other potential targets, especially in those critical infrastructure sectors.
That makes sense.
That kind of collaboration is essential in cybersecurity.
Right.
The more we know about how these attackers operate, the better equipped we are to defend against them.
Because these hackers aren't just going to disappear, right? No. They'll keep adapting their tactics, finding new ways to exploit vulnerabilities.
Exactly.
So this was also a wake-up call to everyone saying, hey, this is the new reality. Step up your game.
It is, yeah. The FBI and CISA issued a pretty stern warning.
Wow.
Urging companies to review their security practices, invest in advanced threat detection.
Okay.
And adopt that zero trust model we were talking about.
Right.
They know this isn't a one-time thing.
Right.
This is the new normal in cyber warfare.
Which brings us to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
This isn't just some isolated incident.
Right.
This attack fits into a larger pattern of Chinese cyber activity targeting the U.S.
You're absolutely right. This is part of a much bigger story.
Okay.
We've seen reports linking these same hackers to attacks on the 2024 presidential campaigns.
Oh, wow.
Both President-elect Trump and Vice President Harris, their teams were targeted.
So both sides?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it goes beyond politics.
Really?
Numerous U.S. companies, especially in tech and defense,
they've
reported breaches attributed to Chinese actors.
So it's not just about stealing data. It's about disrupting our elections,
right,
undermining our businesses, gaining any advantage they can.
Yeah.
It really does feel like we're in the middle of a cyber war.
It does.
But one that's fought in the shadows with digital weapons.
And that's what makes it so difficult to combat.
Right.
It's not like traditional warfare, where you can see tanks rolling across borders.
Right.
Cyber attacks are stealthy,
often
difficult to attribute.
Yeah.
And they can have devastating consequences.
But why go after telecoms specifically?
Yeah.
I mean, they handle a ton of data.
Yeah.
But so do banks, social media companies, healthcare providers.
Right. What makes telecoms such a high-value target?
Well, it's not just about the data itself.
Okay.
It's about the strategic importance of telecommunications infrastructure.
Right.
Imagine if they could disrupt our ability to communicate,
right,
cripple our internet access, shut down emergency services.
It would be chaos.
Yeah, it would cause chaos, cripple our economy.
And let's not forget the intelligence value.
Oh, yeah.
Being able to intercept communications of government officials, military leaders, business executives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a goldmine for any nation state looking to gain an edge.
It is. They're not just trying to steal our secrets.
Right.
They're trying to map our networks, understand how we communicate, and potentially identify weaknesses they can exploit in future attacks.
So it's about gaining a strategic advantage in the long game of cyber warfare.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this attack has exposed some serious vulnerabilities, both in terms of technology and our understanding of the threat. So let's shift gears a bit and talk about solutions.
What can we do, both as individuals and as a nation,
right,
to protect ourselves in this new reality?
Well, the first step is acknowledging the scope and sophistication of the threat. We can't just rely on outdated security practices or assume it won't happen to us.
Right.
We need a fundamental shift in mindset.
Okay.
One that prioritizes cybersecurity at every level.
So it's not just about installing antivirus software and calling it a day.
No, it's about being proactive.
Okay.
Constantly evaluating and updating our security measures and adopting that zero trust approach we discussed earlier.
Right. So instead of just guarding the perimeter, we need to be constantly monitoring everything.
Exactly.
Okay. So for companies, that means investing in advanced threat detection systems.
Mm-hmm.
implementing multi-factor authentication.
Right.
And regularly conducting security audits.
Yeah, to identify and patch vulnerabilities.
But it's not just about technology, it's about people too.
Absolutely.
You're talking about training employees to recognize phishing scams, to be more discerning about what they click on, and to report suspicious activity immediately.
Exactly. Because sometimes the weakest link in the chain is human error.
Right.
It goes beyond that, though.
Okay.
We need to foster a culture of cybersecurity awareness.
Right.
Where everyone understands the risks and takes responsibility for protecting themselves and their organization.
So it's about education, training, and changing our behavior.
It is.
But what about on a national level?
Okay.
What can the government do to strengthen our defenses and deter these kinds of attacks?
Well, they've already taken some steps.
Like what?
That recent joint statement from the FBI and CISA. That was a clear message that they're taking this threat seriously.
Right.
And they're committed to working with the private sector to improve our defenses.
But is it enough? I mean, we hear about these attacks all the time. It feels like we're always playing catch-up, reacting to the latest breach instead of getting ahead of the curve.
You're right. It's a constant arms race.
Yeah.
But there are things we can do.
Like what?
Investing in research and development of new cybersecurity technologies is crucial.
Okay.
We need to be at the forefront of innovation, developing tools and strategies that can anticipate and neutralize future threats.
And what about international cooperation?
Oh, that's huge.
I mean, these attacks aren't limited to the U.S., right?
No, not at all.
Oh,
this is a global problem that requires a global solution.
So working with our allies
to
share intelligence coordinate responses and develop international norms and standards for cyberspace?
Absolutely. We need to present a united front against these actors and make it clear that these kinds of attacks won't be tolerated.
It's almost like we need a digital Geneva Convention.
Interesting.
Establishing rules of engagement for cyber warfare.
Yeah.
But even with all those measures in place, it feels like we're still incredibly vulnerable.
Mm.
Is there anything else we can do to really make a difference?
Well, one often overlooked aspect is the role of deterrence.
Okay.
Right now, the cost of launching these attacks is relatively low,
and
the potential rewards are high.
Right.
We need to change that equation.
So you're saying there need to be consequences for these actions.
Exactly.
But how do you punish a nation state for a cyber attack? It's not like we can send in troops or launch airstrikes.
That's the challenge. But there are other options.
Like what?
Economic sanctions. Diplomatic pressure.
Okay.
Even cyber countermeasures.
Huh.
These are all tools that can be used to raise the cost of these attacks and make them less appealing.
But those actions can have unintended consequences too, right?
They can.
Like escalating tensions, potentially sparking a wider conflict.
You're right. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
But we can't just sit back and do nothing.
Right.
We need to send a clear message that these actions have consequences and that we will not be easy targets.
So it's a multifaceted approach.
It is.
Strengthening our defenses. Investing in innovation, fostering international cooperation, and exploring deterrence strategies.
Right.
It sounds like a daunting task.
It is. It is daunting, but it's not insurmountable.
Right. And this is where our conversation comes full circle.
Yeah.
We've, you know, we've unpacked the motivations, the vulnerabilities. But what's the takeaway for the listener right now?
Yeah, because it's easy to feel overwhelmed by this. Right. All the geopolitical stuff, the talk of cyber warfare.
Right.
And it can make you feel like it's completely out of your control.
Yeah.
But, you know, this deep dive isn't about making people paranoid.
Right.
It's about empowering them.
Exactly. So let's bring it back down to earth.
Okay.
What can the average person actually do to protect themselves and their data?
Right.
I mean, we talked about strong passwords and being wary of phishing emails. But is that really enough?
They're a good start.
Okay.
But we need to think bigger. It's about adopting a security-conscious mindset in everything we do online.
Everything.
Yeah. Think critically about the websites you visit,
the
apps you download, the information you share.
So it's not just about avoiding those shady websites or clicking on suspicious links.
Right.
It's about being aware of the potential risks in every single digital interaction we have.
Yeah. Treat your data like gold.
Okay.
Don't give it away for free.
And be skeptical.
Oh, yeah.
Don't just blindly trust what you see online.
Please don't.
Verify that information from multiple sources, especially before making any decisions based on what you read.
Right. And be especially wary of those too good to be true offers.
Right.
Or those alarming headlines that are designed to play on your emotions.
Yeah. It's easy to get caught up in the moment and just click without thinking.
That's how they get you.
Okay. So what else?
Don't underestimate the power of simply staying informed.
Staying informed.
Yeah. Keep up with the latest cybersecurity news and trends.
Oh, yeah.
There are tons of great resources out there.
Right. Even following some cybersecurity experts on social media can give you some insights into the latest threats and scams.
For sure, knowledge is your best defense.
Right. And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
If you're not sure about something, reach out to like a trusted IT professional or security expert.
Right.
Sometimes even just talking to a tech-savvy friend or family member can help you avoid making a costly mistake.
Absolutely. But it's not just about protecting yourself.
Okay.
It's about holding others accountable, too.
What do you mean?
Demand more from the companies you do business with.
Okay.
Ask them about their cybersecurity practices, their data privacy policies.
Mm-hmm.
Vote with your wallet.
Right.
Choose companies that prioritize security and transparency.
Because ultimately, this isn't just about individual responsibility. It's about systemic change.
It is.
We need to push for stronger laws and regulations that protect our data and hold companies accountable for breaches.
Absolutely. And demand action from our elected officials.
Yeah.
Make cybersecurity a priority in your voting decisions.
Right.
Support candidates who understand the threat.
Mm-hmm.
And are committed to investing in our digital defenses.
Because this isn't just some abstract problem for tech experts to solve.
Uh-huh.
This is a threat to our democracy, our economy, our way of life.
It is.
And it's going to take all of us working together to push for change.
I agree. And that brings us to the heart of what we've been talking about today.
Okay.
This isn't just about reacting to the latest attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's about building a more secure future.
I like that.
It's about innovation collaboration. And a collective commitment to defending our digital world.
It's about recognizing that cybersecurity isn't just an IT issue.
Yeah.
It's a human issue.
It is.
It's about protecting our privacy,
mm-hmm.
our freedom, our right to live and interact online without fear.
And that's a fight worth having.
Absolutely. So on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground today, but this is just the beginning.
It is.
We hope this conversation has sparked your curiosity, empowered you with knowledge, and inspired you to take action.
Remember, the future of cybersecurity is in our hands.
It really is.
Let's make it a secure one.
Thanks for joining us.